Blog Talk Radio.
And then, you know, everybody said, what we say about Barack Obama? Well, he's just not black enough. Why? Because he's light-skinned and articulate? Because he paid back his student loans? Because he's married to his baby's mama? No, his character's not black, but his lips is blacker than a motherfucker. Okay. Them some Cool Filter King lips if I ever seen Cool Filter King lips. And that's black enough for me.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in the white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sin against you.
And welcome back. It's 2 minutes after the hour right here on Resonant Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is April the 24th, 2012. Tuesday, that is. Tuesday, April 24th, 2012. And, you know, as I said often, and we haven't done it in a while, it's racism all the time.
Oh, shit.
Racism all the time on Resonant Radio. But see, this kind of racism, see, this is different. It's the turncoat racism. Turncoat racism is what it is that I'd like to talk about today. What I haven't heard yet is the racism coming from people against John Lovitz. Now, if you tuned into the show yesterday or if you listened to it today in the archives, which I see a lot of you did, you probably heard when I played audio of John Lovitz ripping into Barack Obama. Now, I didn't give a lot of breakdown into what caused the John Lovitz sort of tirade, as it were. But, of course, we report on it in the beginning, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it goes viral. And it has. The John Lovitz remarks have gone viral. They're all over the place about his comments about Barack Obama at his nightclub. Now, John Lovitz owns a nightclub. He was talking to director Kevin Smith, who directed Clerks, Mallrats, a new feature he has out called Red State. You all know who Kevin Smith is. Chasing Amy. What was that other movie he did? Silent Bob. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. You know him. So he's with John Lovitz, and John Lovitz is tearing into Barack Obama on his podcast called The ABCs of SNL, Saturday Night Live. And he said this.
This whole thing with Obama saying the rich don't pay their taxes is fucking bullshit. And I voted for the guy and I'm a Democrat. What a fucking asshole. The rich don't pay their taxes. Let me tell you something, right? First they say to you, you're dead broke. The United States of America, you can do anything you want. Go for it. So then you go for it, and then you make it, and everyone's like, fuck you. How the fuck is that? You just said go for it. He himself is the perfect example. He's amazing. He had nothing. He had no father. He was, you know, mixed race, which is a burden in the United States. Don't kid yourself, you know, growing up like that. And no money, and the guy ends up being at Harvard. He's the president of the United States.
And you're like, fuck
and
you.
He's like, and now he's like, fuck me. And everyone who made it like me, it's like, you know, you have to work your ass off, you know.
Yeah.
If I make a dollar, and out of every dollar, I'm taxed at 50, half of 50 cents I have to give. Isn't that, like, enough?
Yes.
So for every dollar you make, $2, you have to give a dollar back. That's not right. No, you're not paying enough. It's half.
Yeah, I feel you. I pay
half.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, the rich people have all these deductions. Well, everyone in this room has the same deductions. You just didn't know it, learn about it. But you have the exact same deduction. Did you drive a car? Did you take it to work? Deduct it.
Hey.
Do you eat at lunch? Deduct it.
Stop yelling at the 99%.
It's my club.
Yeah, but don't burn it down, man. Occupy Lovitz.
Oh, yeah, and then, and then, so I take my hard-earned money and I open a club. Now all of you are here. Help me. Hello? It's ridiculous.
So he said it was ridiculous, and everybody in the liberal media, Yahoo News, which is now, of course, in, you know, cahoots with ABC News, and every other place, the Huffington Post, they've all got it up. It's gone viral. Now, I went on John Lovett's Twitter account, and he's made no response to it. Everyone is on his Twitter account making comments to it. He's not responded to it, probably because he's going to get backlash. Now, I haven't read all of the comments on his Twitter account, but I'm just waiting until people start calling him some sort of turncoat Jew. Because they will. Now, how do I know this? Well, that's very simple. That is very simple. It's because of what they did to Don Lemon of CNN. Now, I've ripped Don Lemon on this show enough times to know I'm not a fan of Don Lemon. But I've never, ever attacked the guy because he's gay. Never. Never had any reason to. I only attack him because he and I don't agree politically. Because some of the stuff, that he obviously has said enough stuff where he has literally been riding the coattails of the Obama administration. He's from Chicago. You know, he's a homeboy, so to speak. So he supports the first black president. But then he went and did this, which now has caused an uproar. This is what he did.
Not a good week for President Obama. Roll the headlines.
Overshadowed by a prostitution scandal involving members of the Secret Service.
Yet another apology for yet another instance of U.S. troops behaving badly in Afghanistan.
Those government officials who attended that conference in Las Vegas and spent taxpayer money on mind readers and clowns.
The agency that protects him, under fire. The agency representing the country on the battlefield, under fire. The agency that oversees government agencies, under fire. The Secret Service, the GSA, the armed forces. While the president doesn't directly run these organizations, he is the president. And as much as Democrats don't want to hear it, people like Sarah Palin have a point.
These departments, the buck stops with the president, and he's really got to start cracking down and seeing some heads roll. You know, he's got to get rid of these people at the head of these agencies.
At the head of these agencies, he's also the head of the economy. He's in charge of it. Yet almost 4 years later, his entire administration is running around still blaming a bad economy on George W. Bush.
Take a look at what happened in Ohio between 2000 and 2008. Instead of faster job growth, we had the slowest job growth in half a century.
The president inherited, again, as you know, the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression.
The worst crisis since the Great Depression when he came into office. You know, this was a financial crisis caused by a shock larger than what caused the Great Depression.
And too many people have been stripped of their dignity as a consequence of this god-awful recession we've inherited.
It is true that they inherited the worst economy since the Great Depression. The research shows it. It does. It shows it. But it's the same talking points you ran on last time. Then again, you know, maybe the GSA, the Secret Service, and the bad soldiers aren't all your fault. Even conservative stalwart George Will agrees.
It is unfair to blame Barack Obama for the GSA or any of these things because although people think he controls the executive branch, no one controls the executive branch. That's part of the problem with big government.
So everyone understands it's an election year and you need something to hang your hat on. You need something to hang your hat on, but no one likes a broken record. And at some point, you're going to have to take responsibility for the things that happen on your watch, regardless of what went down or up before you took office, and stop pointing fingers backwards. That's tonight's No Talking Points.
So Don Lemon does this No Talking Points, and he does it on his show, and he pretty much tears into Obama and just pretty much says, hey, listen, no more of this blaming the other guy. This is your responsibility. Take ownership. And on his Twitter account, they've gone nuts. One woman wrote, if this is indeed a woman, because it looks like it is, if you think the right will make you their pet gay, they won't. Obama is standing up for you, and don't forget who you are. This is definitely from a woman. Her name is Annie. She writes, he's a black gay man and a right-wing tool for a buck. His boyfriend is a CNN higher up, too. Another Twitter from another person says, I don't care how good your nose job is, you should dance with the ones who brought you. That's how crappy it's gotten for Don Lemon for just remotely telling the truth. Now, I don't know what backlash John Lovett's going to get or whether he's going to be forced to apologize, but I see it coming. Will he have to backtrack? He'll have to backtrack off his comments. And Don Lemon, who's supposed to be a journalist doing a news program, tells the truth. He's honest. He tries to keep it fair and balanced. And people start attacking him for his color and his sexual preference. The same thing that they claim Republicans care nothing about and will ridicule people for. These are people on the left who are using that against him to insult him and berate him because he's black and gay. And then if he steps out of line, and they can't stop reminding him who he is. You're a black homosexual. You know what side of the fence you're supposed to be on. You better watch your step, boy. Don't you go speaking out of turn. Now look, I have no idea whether or not he is in the least bit phased. I'm sure he's not. Because I know sometimes he responds to the people who comment on his Twitter account. But I'm sure he's feeling, well, I don't think it's affecting him. But I'm sure he's feeling the tension. And I know that what he did was approved by his executive producers. In fact, I'm positive of it. But my whole point has always been, when you're conservative, and you have different views than those who are on the extreme right, or those people who are very conservative, like me, I'm not going to rip on you. I'll just say, hey, well, I don't exactly agree with that. Oh, come on, what are you, crazy? I might go that far, but I'm not going to attack you unless I personally feel as though you're a maniac, a zealot. A lunatic, like Toure, or Michael Eric Dyson, or Al Sharpton. See, I don't rip you apart unless you're a radical moron. And I find it amazing that people who claim to be the most tolerant, because that's the reason why they don't like the GOP, it's the reason why they don't like conservatives, the reason why they don't like Republicans in all, they keep pumping that extreme narrative that they're intolerant. And here, Don Lemon, he doesn't walk lockstep with the liberals. And they attack him on the exact filter that they claim that they don't want anyone to do, that they claim the people on the right do. And all we want guys like Don Lemon to do, the only thing that anybody's been asking them to do, is to be fair and balanced. I'm stunned at this, but I'm not surprised. The reason why I'm stunned is because you've never ever known Don Lemon. Well, okay, that's not true. I've known Don Lemon to often say things that were a little bit ideological on the left. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a right to his opinion. You see, it's always people on the left who believe that if you don't fall in lockstep with them, you have to be silenced. Because they hate the First Amendment. They hate free speech. The only people who should be allowed free speech are the people who agree with them. Think I'm kidding? Julia Louis-Dreyfus of Seinfeld fame. And we'll see if we can get the audio during the show. She does an interview with Piers Morgan on CNN. Piers Morgan Tonight on CNN or HLN, whatever network it's on. He took over for Larry King. And she's talking about her new TV show on HBO called Veep, where she plays a vice president in the White House. And she talks about how her show is going to, you know, how it talks about women in politics and how important women are in politics. And there should be more women in politics. And Piers Morgan baits her and says, so you mean more people like Sarah Palin? And she goes, no, not more people like her. I want to see more female Democrats. She doesn't want females in politics unless they walk in lockstep with them. This is liberalism. And people are going to have to start recognizing that for what it is. Because it is the truth. They are fascists. They are totalitarians. All of the insults and the comments that they make about those on the right, like me, they keep screaming that we're fascists. We want to take away women's rights. Here's Julia Louis-Dreyfus clearly saying she's against women's right to think on the right. She's against it. Oh, no, we want more women in politics, but we don't want them to be Republicans. So that means that if a woman is a Republican, she doesn't have the right to speak or shouldn't be allowed. That's fascist. That's the core definition. I mean, look at Mary, why you bugging? When she started this show, she was a left-leaning, screaming, bleeding-heart liberal. She still has those things festering inside of her. She's still things festering in her. But what did I do? I made
you
her a part of the show. That's right. I cleaned her up. I spit shined her and everything.
You were a diamond in the rough.
You were dirty by the filth of liberalism. You were soiled.
Oh, my, that's disgusting. Disgusting.
You were damaged goods.
You were damaged goods.
Just like a Republican would.
Nah. Hey, if you're running lockstep with those people who don't want you to speak your mind, to be a free thinker, and you can only follow...
Oh, no. We know that I'm not running with these morons.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, after yesterday, though, after yesterday.
Woman.
What did you say? After yesterday?
After that money conversation yesterday, I think she's a rhino.
Because I want to give people things.
Well, I don't have anything wrong with your charitable giving. You're a charitable person, and I appreciate that. But you have to get that word greed out of your system because there's no such thing, and I think I explained it to you with the analogy we used yesterday with the only time in your life when you're taught to share is when you're a child, but you never ever apply it in your daily life. It's not about sharing. It's different. There's a difference between what's called sharing and giving. Sharing is something they make you do as a child so that you are socially accepted by by a certain group. But when you grow older, what you do is give, and there's a difference. Charity is not sharing. It's different. Charity is giving of yourself. You know, charity is a giving
You're
of yourself and giving of what you have.
No.
You're not sharing. Because
sharing is caring.
No. Sharing is not what it is you do. It's charity what it is that you do. And that you don't give all of your money. If you give one charity to some person, like if you make sure that, let's say you made $4 million a year and you gave a $1 million of your salary every year, and you made $4 million, so you give $1 million of your, that would be the definition of sharing. You're sharing part of your salary. I'm not saying you should give equal share, but you're sharing part of your salary. But people don't do that. There are plenty of people who don't do that.
And when you're forced to do it?
Yeah, exactly. And when you're forced to do it, it's a different thing.
When you're what?
When you're forced to do it, it's a different thing. And that's what your parents are doing.
When you're forced
your parents are forcing you to share.
Well, no, they're not forcing you.
Sure they are.
They're teaching you.
No, that's forcing you. That's indoctrination.
They teach you socialism at a very early age.
Exactly. But there's nothing wrong with you having your own and you don't want to give. It doesn't make you selfish. Who cares? I don't want to give anything of mine. That's it. But this is exactly the language of the left. I feel for you, Don. I feel for you. You try to tell the truth. You try to do something decent and just be honest. Forget about towing the line. Just be a journalist. Tell the audience what it is that they need to hear. This is the truth. This is an opinion, and that's what I'm going to give. No talking points. That's what no talking points is about. You tell the truth, you lay it on the line, you draw the bottom line. And if they don't like it, screw them if they don't like it. It's called conviction, Danny. Conviction. You got to have it.
Well, this is only one in his column. He'll be back to the same old crap next week.
He may have to, but I'm telling you, just like I feel about John Lovitz, if John Lovitz falls back, if he walks it back, I got no respect for him.
We'll never watch another movie?
Forget about it. He's done. He's done in my book. When we come back, I want to explain to you something. Well, let me explain to him now, because I've got a couple of minutes before we go to break. Let me explain to you, JC, what it is that people, that some people who are reading this story in the Huffington Post, no, that everybody's talking about how vicious it was that how vicious what he said was. Everybody's talking about the fact that he called him an a-hole and all that other stuff. They're talking about that. Everybody's talking about the hyperbole, but they're missing one key point. And I wrote this today, and I plan on putting it on my blog. What John Lovitz is talking about, John Lovitz is not. He does not have the fame or the celebrity or the money that other people in his business have gotten from SNL. He's no Tina Fey. He's no Mike Myers. He's no Adam Sandler. You know, he's not those. He's no David Spade, for crying out loud. These guys have been able to make their career. I mean, David Spade's got a sitcom. Tina Fey's got a sitcom. Adam Sandler, you know, he's got a movie career and a production company. And he, in fact, Adam Sandler is the producer of David Spade's TV show, Rules of Engagement. So, well, you know, these guys are doing very well for themselves. John Lovitz gets bit parts in movies. He's here. He's there. He makes a little bit of money. He's made enough to open up this club. He starts a small business. He's got 20, maybe 30 employees. He knows what it's like to start a business. He's wealthy, yes. And he's saying, look, he's doing what he thought was the American dream. He grew up in this country, and he's doing what it is that's expected of him, which is called American exceptionalism. And with that being said, to have somebody turn around and say, after I make all this money, I work hard, I grind. This guy, a lot of people don't remember this. John Lovitz was in the movie Big with Tom Hanks. He had a small role in the movie Big. That's how long he's been in the game. Okay? He had one comedy that he started called High School High with Tia Carrera. You know? He was in another movie, I believe, oh, man, I can't remember the movie. I think my mom is a space alien or something like that. He's had bit parts in films, but they've been memorable parts in films. John Lovitz is an icon who's worked his butt off to make something of himself. And now he's being told that now he's made money, he's made enough to support himself and to start his own business, and they want half? You know, it's funny that guys like, you know, it's funny because people laugh at Eddie Murphy's Raw when he talked about half. I made $300 million and she gets to take half? I did all the work for it and you get to take half? If you want to follow the mantra of a guy like Barack Obama and agree with him, but yet still laugh and understand the joke that Eddie Murphy told back in 1987 in the concert movie Raw, you're a hypocrite. Because that's exactly what Eddie Murphy's talking about. You didn't earn any of this, and the woman gets to take half my ish. And then you look at Barack Obama and you just go, and he's not. And think about what Eddie Murphy's talking about. He's talking about Johnny Carson. I got $300 million and she gets half? He was talking about a one percenter. And Eddie Murphy's talking about, look, I'm starting to make money now. I make a lot of money. And you mean somebody could just marry me, not do all the work, and could take half? And then you support this guy as the president of the United States that says that we got to spread the wealth around? I would go right into anybody's face, especially Eddie Murphy, if he supports this guy, and go, yeah, really? I would play Raw right back in his face and go, you didn't think that back in 87. You're going to tell me it's a different circumstance? And that's what John Lovitz is screaming and hollering about. But if he gets ostracized for it, is he forced to walk it back, or people start protesting against him the way that they're doing Don Lemon, and he backs off from it, then he has no conviction. Therefore, he loses all respect. It has nothing to do with Barack Obama. It just has to do with conviction. And I got no respect for anybody who doesn't stand by their conviction. Got no respect for it. That's all I can say. John Lovitz, stand your ground. Don Lemon, stand your ground. Speak truth to power, man. Speak truth to power. It doesn't matter if they leave you, man. Hey, there's always a job over at Fox, my man. I'm telling you. Fox is the only network that has liberals and Republicans on their network. Not your guys. Not your guys. There's not one host on CNN who's a Republican with the show. Not one. Roger Ailes will grab you in a second. In a heartbeat. And give you a show. Gotta have some guts, man. Gotta have some guts. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Awful.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, when we take a break, I got some more audio for you. A parent in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, catches teachers bullying his autistic son. How did he catch him? Wait till you find out. How did he catch these female teachers bullying his little boy at school? Oh, and he's autistic. I love it. And we're going to talk about why we need to get rid of teachers and the teachers' union. And this is a prime example, ladies and gentlemen. When we get back, it's Reset Radio. Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in
the new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else, as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right, this is Sean Qualley, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Qualley, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Blogtalkradio.com. April 24th, 2012, Tuesday. I'm calling it Bash a Teacher Tuesday. Now, anybody who knows my history, back in my days, my crossover Negro these days, from Hot 97 to Power 104 to Power 105, I have been the largest critic of teachers. Always have been, always will be. Primarily because of the teachers' unions. Now, why do I rip and ridicule the teachers' unions? Now, I want to give you a number. Break this down for you. My biggest problem with teachers' unions works a little something in here. So, teachers in this country, literally in the numbers of like 3.5 million. 3.5 million teachers. Now, these teachers pay into the union, and their union dues work out to $750 a year. That's how much they pay in dues. That is according to the NEA, National Education Association. So they pay about $750 into the union a year. Now, with a number like that, when you have 3.5, and I'll round it off because it's roughly around 3.2, but let's make it 3.2. I'm almost certain if I do the numbers right now. Mary, can you help me out with something?
Yeah.
Mary, why are you bugging? Help me out with something.
What's
up? I'm going to give you this calendar. I'm going to run the numbers by you. Okay? And, okay, so it's $750 times 3.2 million people. Are you okay?
I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting you to. I was going to try to do it in my head.
That's okay. Was the number too large?
Well, I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Okay, so that number, if I'm doing this right, and I think I just did it wrong. So let's go $750 times 3200, right? And then that's 000, right?
Yeah.
So that's 3.2 million people. Right? That's about right. $750. Yeah. And that works out to 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's $2.4 billion.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that works out to $2.4 billion. Now, if the union gets that kind of money from its teachers, right? That means that the NEA, the National Education Association, has 2.4 billion dollars at its disposal every year. Now the question becomes, what does the teachers union do with that money? Well, it's very simple. With that kind of money at a union's disposal, aside from paying for its overhead, but it has that money every year. And let's say there's an election every 2 years. So now they've got $4.8 billion every 2 years at their disposal that they can use on anything they want, making commercials, supporting politicians, because that's what they are. They're a lobbying group. And what do they lobby? They lobby legislators across the country to do what? To fight for their union rights. Be
all
it.
Big business.
Well, of course, but I'm just saying, hold on, this is what the teachers union does. So the teachers union uses that money, and that's what they do. They lobby, just like any other lobbying group, but teachers. We're talking about people who educate our children. Now, they're not lobbying for kids to get more money. Public education is public education. It's already funded by the government. So teachers are not lobbying for kids to get more money in schools. They're lobbying for their own employment, their retirement, their pension, their health benefits. That's what they lobby for. That's what the unions lobby for, to get an increase in pay raises. That's what a union does. Union has a stronghold on teachers, as on the Board of Education or any educational board there is across the country. That's why teachers get tenure after 3 years, and you can't get rid of them when they screw up. So they are not in the interest of kids, because when you have tenure, you hear that classic line by teachers, as many inner city kids always repeat back to me. You know, one time my teacher told me, I don't care whether or not you pass or fail, I still get paid. Of course they're telling you the truth. It doesn't matter, because job performance plays no part in what it is that they do. No one's going to walk into your office and go, hey, you know, you guys only had a 15% graduation rate last year. Yeah, and the kids don't want to learn. They don't come to school. I'm doing my job, and you can't fire me. Unless I sexually molest the kid or I whip his ass in class physically. Then it'll take a whole bunch of red tape for you to get rid of me as a teacher. And you'll just put me in a rubber room where I'll spend the rest of my tenure still getting paid. Because my union has made sure that my contract is ironclad. And you can't do a damn thing to fire me. And if you do, I'll sue your ass. So with all of that being said, that's why I can't stand teachers in this country. Because it's not about kids. It's not about educating them. This is the reason why there was a report that said that there were people on Twitter who had no idea that the Titanic was real. They were on Twitter. The Titanic really happened? I thought it was just a movie that came out 15 years ago. The Titanic? The Titanic? When a kid doesn't know about the Titanic, I learned about the Titanic in the third grade.
Well, it's a sad and tragic story, but what in the hell is it going to do for me as an adult?
It's history.
The Titanic.
It's history.
I don't plan on operating a cruise ship.
It has nothing to do with that, man. It has nothing to do with that. It's the history of the world. That's all important. Well, anyway, let me just get on my point.
No, certain parts of history is important. Well, go ahead.
Well, with all of that being said, then you wonder why you hear stories like this. And nobody should be surprised that a story like this would happen, even with an autistic kid. And wait until you find out how the administration responded. When you hear how they responded, you'll understand the arrogance of the school board in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Your chief says his 10-year-old who has autism has always been a very gentle, loving boy. So when he started getting reports from school that his son was hitting teachers, he knew something was wrong. Well, after putting a recorder in his pocket for a day, what he heard was so outrageous, it prompted him to make a 17-minute YouTube video.
What I heard on that audio was so disgusting, vile, and just an absolute disrespect and bullying of my son.
It's a recording Stuart Chaffetz wants the world to hear.
Go ahead and scream. Guess what? Give me a second. Your mouth is shut.
What you're hearing is the voice of the aide in his autistic son's classroom. And it goes on to record the aide and other teachers talk about their husbands, the students' parents, even their alcohol consumption.
Oh, my God. Let's
get over there. Immediately took the audio to the Cherry Hill School District. He says they were as shocked as he was and quickly fired one of the aides involved. But he says the teacher is still in the district. The district released this statement today. Quote, this is a personnel matter that the district took seriously and handled appropriately. There will be no further comment. Chaffetz says his Facebook page and YouTube video was never intended to attack the district or teachers in general. He just hopes they can weed out the very few teachers that should not be in a classroom.
I really hope this starts a conversation. And I hope people out there who do have the power can take a breath and say, if this can happen here, then it can happen in every state, in every town, and as long as we keep this quiet, it will continue to happen.
Chaffetz says he hopes his video will lead to legislative action for zero tolerance of this type of behavior from educators. Meanwhile, he says his son is in a new school environment and doing really well.
So you see how the school board handled it? We've got no other comment. We took the teacher out of the school. They fired the teacher's aide. Because they could do that. Teacher's aide doesn't have tenure. We can get rid of her. Sacrificial lamb, you're out of here. But as far as the teacher's concerned, look, we just redistrict her. She's out of here. She'll go teach another kid another place. Or we'll put her in a rubber room or whatever. But that's what they call the room that they sit in for hours and they do nothing. But they just sit in there and she collects a paycheck. She goes in there for school hours and she sits there and she does whatever. You know, she does crossword puzzles, plays Scrabble, whatever. That's her punishment. Still collects a paycheck. Then when she's retired, she still gets her pension. Because it's ironclad. And here's an autistic boy in school and they're berating him. And just sitting around in class talking about getting drunk. Now, don't take my word of it. You can go, word for it. You can go online, go to YouTube, and you can look it up yourself. Because the father put up a YouTube video, it's already gotten 200,000 hits. And he doesn't just, you know, he talks for a little while on it, but then he plays the audio in between his rant about what they did to his son, and that you can hear the audio of all the things that he caught these teachers saying and what they were doing. And they're protected. If you don't believe that, go to Project Veritas, George O'Keefe's YouTube page, and watch the New Jersey Teachers Union that he caught at a banquet that they had, where they videotaped the teachers who were in there, who were in Las Vegas. I mean, Atlantic City. I apologize. At Atlantic City, and they were talking about their job and talk about how they hated Chris Christie cracking down on them, and talking about the stuff that they were getting away with and they liked getting away with, and the stuff that they were bragging about doing. You could go online and you can listen to one of the head of the Teachers Union in New Jersey talking at a meeting where he clearly says that this is not about the children, this is about the teachers, their demands. Which is what it's always about. That's why public sector unions are bad, especially. And if you're wondering why our children are so dumb, these are the reasons why. You ask yourself all of those questions, corrections officers unions, police officers union. I can't say much about the firefighters union. Firefighters union, you know, they don't have a quota about putting out fires, and they're not putting out fires in just black neighborhoods and, you know, crap like that. You know, they probably have slower responses, I admit. But, you know, they don't have, you know, what they want, you know, look, they've got probably the most dangerous job. They walk into a damn burning building. So I don't have much to say about firefighters. What they fight for, you know, and after September 11, forget about it. I don't think there's anything that you can remotely say that, to bash the firefighters union. They want what they want because they need that job security. Those guys are the first ones in and usually the last ones out. But the police officers union, the teachers unions, the corrections officers union, it's about their jobs. So when you're asking yourself those stupid questions, why aren't my kids educated? Teachers union. Why do they keep arresting all these black people? Police officers union. Why won't the three strikes rule get overturned in California? Corrections officers union. To protect their jobs, they will enslave, yes, they will, enslave the people that they can inflict the most damage on. And that's the inner city. So don't be baffled. Don't be baffled about it. How can you possibly get a teacher who cares when they have, you know, when they have job security? What do you want to say, JC?
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily in the inner city, but here in Connecticut, recently in Connecticut, a memo leaked from the state PD. One of the barracks had sent out a memo to its officers to pick up the amount of tickets that they give out, because they're not giving out as many tickets as another troop office in the other part of the state.
Right.
And offered them pizza if they came in with and then they refused to call it a quota, but with a certain amount.
Oh yeah, but they have to. I mean, it all makes sense. The reason why these police officers and the police officers unions do this, in order to negotiate, you know, I made this point on Silky Slim's show in Baton Rouge. when I, you know, I told him, I said, you know, a lot of these Negroes don't get it. I told him, I said, if you don't think that there's a quota to be met, just try on this scenario. And it works very simple. If I'm in New York City and I know that how my city makes money is through tourism, how do I make sure that I let people know that I'm a tourist place to go? I'm New York City. I'm known for being a dangerous city. Every year I put out a report, or every 6 months I put out a report of whether or not crime is higher or lower. And that boosts tourism. So as a mayor, and especially for my reelection campaign or my next campaign to be something else, if I'm moving on from mayor to governor, in order for me to do that, I've got to have these quotas met. So I need this amount of arrest. I need to know that we're cracking down on this, we're cracking down on that, because it all has a higher purpose. So of course they have to have a quota. The police department is no longer out there to protect and serve. If it's to serve anyone, it's to serve an agenda. And once you get a union involved, the union is only interested in its bottom line, and its bottom line is getting more benefits for its members. So its members will continue to pay their dues so that they can lobby to get better contracts. And in order to do that, all it is a negotiation tactic with the powers that be, the mayor of the city, in order for them to get those benefits. And the mayor says, well, if you want something, you're going to have to scratch my back. And so they've got to go out there. That's why it was caught. If you read that article that was in the Village Voice about that police officer who broke ranks and recorded his supervisors talking to them and other union members telling them how many tickets they had to get, what they had to do to people in the Bed-Stuy section of Brooklyn in order to keep their quotas up. I want these guys off the streets. If they give you a hard time, I want them in here. We got to see these numbers go up. We got to see these arrests. I want you to have 25 tickets of these, 50 tickets for these. I need to have all of these because we need to go back there and your delegates are sitting up there expecting you to do that. And if you don't want to do it, we'll transfer you. That's how they got caught in the Village Voice.
Wow.
And they were caught on tape.
It's a numbers game.
Exactly. Now it's a business. But it's only a business of profitability for the unions. And of course the union head, oh man, is he bringing home a serious paycheck? Corrections officers in California, they had a correction officer in one of the exposés that I read. He was making more money than Governor Schwarzenegger, and Schwarzenegger's annual salary was $212,000 a year. A corrections officer was making that money? A corrections officer? It's unheard of. It's unheard of. And that's why I don't trust any one of these teachers. I've got no love for them. No love for them at all. Got to get rid of the unions. Charter schools is a must. You want to see the education rise for your little crumb snatcher? You got to get rid of these unions. Got to get rid of these unions. It's the only way that you can do it. We'll take a break. When we come back, there's a lawsuit for The Bachelor because they've got no Negroes playing The Bachelor. I'll tell you why they can't do it. There cannot be a Negro Bachelor. When we get back, it's Squeeze on the Radio.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale.
Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th.
New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but
the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome.
Speaking of dumb c***s,
it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, a strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb c***s,
this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City.
Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb squats,
Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million.
I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
It's Reese on the radio. And when we come back, after the top of the hour, we'll talk about how the lawsuit for the Bachelor, class action lawsuit, how that's happening. And we'll also talk about an experiment that was done at a college to ask kids whether or not they were interested in giving up part of their grade.
Is everything all right?
That's right, giving up part of their grade. And redistribute it to people who had less grade, you know, who had lesser grades than them when we come back. So stick around. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it bleated white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Oh!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese. It's Reese on the radio, and we're back 1 minute after. Mitt Romney, clean sweep. Connecticut primary, 67%. Newt Gingrich had 10, Santorum with 7. Is he still in it?
Well, I mean, because he dropped out
Well, he dropped out a while ago. 56% in Delaware. And Romney said, Newt Gingrich said if he didn't win Delaware, that he was out. So he will be out. Pennsylvania, 57%, Santorum with 18. Ron Paul had 14, Gingrich had 10. Sharice on the radio. On this Tuesday, April the 24th, 2012, Romney with the Queen's clean sweep, the presumptive GOP nominee. He doesn't have all the delegates yet.
So what happens now?
We still have to finish the rest of the...
Really? They still, even though...
He does not have 1,144.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, he's the only person on the damn ballot now.
Yeah, I understand that. And once, you know, once that's it, you know, he's still got to go through the process.
It's a waste of taxpayers' money.
Yes, we know. It's not taxpayer money. It's his own money.
No, it's taxpayer money, too.
Tell me where the taxpayers paying for any of this.
Because you have to work.
Whom?
I mean, they hire people.
Yeah, but Romney pays that with his own money. The only taxpayer money is going in is to a Secret Service detail.
Okay, well, that's enough. And they're out screwing prostitutes in Colombia.
Well, not all of them. Do not clean sweep the entire Secret Service department.
Are there three more that were outed today or something?
Yeah.
Did you see the whistleblower of that?
The number just keeps growing.
Yeah, it's up to 8. Who's the whistleblower? Who do you mean? You mean the girl?
Yeah.
You're talking about the prostitute that argued the money.
No. What I reported the incident back in Washington.
Oh, the woman.
Yeah.
She was the woman who had to call them all back, and she's a, I think she's a 10 to 12 year veteran or something like that. She
black
was a, yeah, black chick. She she was in fact, there was a file photo they showed today of her. I don't know her name, but she's a Secret Service agent. There's a photo that they had of her. She was walking outside in the motorcade. When George W. Bush took office in 2001.
Right. Now she's the head down in Florida now.
Right. She was the one who actually had to fire the guys.
Yeah, she is hot.
Yeah. She's a good-looking woman. Let's not objectify her.
Very good-looking.
Hey, look, you know, it's funny because someone mentioned about the Secret Service thing. One of the senators or congress, one of the legislators said, we need to have more women in the Secret Service. And then somebody pointed out, you don't remember what happened in France where there were a bunch of females who worked in Secret Service and were a part of that detail, and they got scammed by a bunch of very, very good-looking guys and got a lot of the country's personal information?
Wow.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. If Hillary Clinton's out there drinking, who knows what the girls are out there doing?
Probably clamping their thighs shut.
What'd you say, JC?
Clamping their thighs shut with a rounder.
Oh, all right. It's so bad. Anyway, okay, as we mentioned, men are suing The Bachelor. Black men are suing The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
In a class action lawsuit. As reported, Nashville natives Nathaniel Claybrooks Clay Brooks, pardon me, and Christopher Johnson followed through on their threat to file a class action lawsuit against ABC and the producers of the Bachelor franchise for purposeful discrimination against people of color, African Americans, Latinos, and Asian Americans. The two African American men and their lawyers discussed their hopes to what they think will be a landmark civil rights case that will move social justice and economic equality forward. They're doing their small part in the United States journey to be a more inclusive country, to be a more diverse country, and to be a country that is far more tolerant than the series would suggest. Both Clay Brooks, an entrepreneur and former All-American football player, and Johnson, an aspiring NFL athlete, an active community servant, applied during an open casting call for The Bachelorette in August of 2011. While Clay Brooks claimed that his interview process took less than half the time of any white applicants in front of him, Johnson alleges he did not get an opportunity to even make it to the second level, like Clay Brooks. He explained, quote, "I was stopped by a young gentleman about 5 feet into the door. He saw fit to ask me exactly what I was doing there. Both men felt that they were unfairly dismissed because of their race. Looking back at how I was treated at the casting call last year, it was clear that that wasn't possible. I never even had a chance," said Clay Brooks. Their lawyer suggested that this was not an isolated phenomenon. He said that the executive producer and defendant Mike Fleece's insistence that the show does not get enough applicants of color was just pretext. "We think they purposely do not want people of color on this show." He said of his clients, "These two gentlemen have come forward, and so have dozens of other people. All they're seeking is an equal opportunity, an equal chance to compete." He estimated there have been dozens, maybe even hundreds of contestants turned away based on their race. Then asked, "How do you explain zero bachelors or bachelorettes of color in 23 seasons?" "The ripple of that form of discrimination is very powerful in this country," the lawyer continued, noting that ABC and the producers of The Bachelor are sending a message of exclusiveness, of denying people opportunity, and that has a negative effect on this country that we plan today to start to turn around. "This is a case about hope and change." Oh, they didn't. "We believe we have concrete solutions about how to make this show into a kind of show that will be inclusive, will be diverse, and will better reflect this country." The lawyer and his co-counsel, Byron Perkins, "Quite frankly, if we had one, we probably wouldn't be here today. Just one." Now, look, let me explain this to you. And Mary, I'm sorry if I'm going to repeat the hyperbole when we had this discussion, some days ago, when I told you about this story. And this is very sensitive, so bear with me. You can't have a black bachelor. You can't do it. And I'm going to go years, years back here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go years back here. And I'm going to tell you why you cannot have a black bachelor. And I'm going to use three words. And I'm going to see whether or not Mary or JC can guess what I'm talking about. The three words are the real world. Can anybody guess what I'm talking about? Nobody?
Give me a season.
It doesn't matter what the season is. With the exception of maybe two or three. I'll just go to first three episodes. First three seasons. Maybe even four seasons.
I don't see. I mean...
JC, not a clue?
The world was so popular.
Nobody with a clue. Okay.
I don't see the association. Unless something happened...
Okay, let's start.
Did somebody get brought up on criminal charges?
No, they did not. But Do you guys remember there was an accusation of rape on one episode or one season of The Real World?
No, what season? Who were the people?
Now, I don't remember what the character's name was, but he was a short, skinny, kind of frail-looking black kid. He always wore a hat. And there was a black girl on the show, and she was barely dressed, and she had a blanket wrapped around her. And there was this scene where he's trying to pull the blanket off of her to try to get the blanket. He was dragging her on the floor and trying to rip off her blanket. And all the girls in the house started saying that that was a form of rape.
I vaguely remember.
Okay, well, I'll see if JC can find out which season that was. Do you remember that, JC?
That was World War II, San Francisco, California.
Real World II in San Francisco.
His name was David.
His name was David. And the black girl.
He went on to star in House Party. No, it was House Party 3 or Class Act. One of them.
Popular movie that I saw him in the most, but the movie that comes to my mind is he had a quick role in the Dave Chappelle movie. What was the movie that he did about getting high with his friends? Half Baked. Okay.
Half Baked. No. He had a bigger role in he basically took Martin Lawrence's position in the House Party.
Oh, he is okay.
In
so
the House Party franchise.
In the House Party movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. But David, that I remember from Half Baked was when Dave Chappelle goes to the program to get off marijuana, and Bob Saget is in the stand. He says, "I used to suck for coke," and the black guy goes, "I've seen him." That's David from The Real World. Now, I'm not just using David as an example here, but you hear that? He's pulling off a blanket off of a girl on the floor. He's not touching her. He's dragging her on the floor, and he's trying to take
away
her.
They were playing in the house.
Playing in the house. And he's trying to rip off her blanket, and she's grabbing onto her blanket because she says she's not fully dressed. She doesn't want anybody to see her. Pulling it off, and the girl started screaming, "That's a form of rape." Let's not be Kevin Powell in the first season of The Real World.
Right, he's the activist, writer.
The man, writer for several magazines. He was a writer for Vibe magazine. He had that very, very combative confrontation with Julie outside the Real World house, right on Broadway, downtown, and they're in each other's faces. Street. No. That's another episode. That was another one where the black guy was dating the white girl. She gets into the car. He runs up to the car, opens up the car door. He slaps her at the door. And they wanted to charge him with assault. You can't get black guys in this reality show thing. Not with white women. You can't do it. Now, David was with a black girl. David's incident in the second season was with a black girl. But she was surrounded by white women. And every one of those white girls was saying that what he did was a form of rape.
Got him kicked out of the house.
Got him kicked out of the house.
With lesbian death.
Okay, exactly. What do you think is going to happen on The Bachelor? Where the things that they're doing on this Bachelor show, and you know what they're doing. There's a lot of kissing, canoodling, a lot of naked skinny dipping. Well, I guess that's what they're doing. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, naked in the hot tub. Getting a little frisky. The girls go a little far with the guys so that they get a rose at the end. Now, what if a girl goes too far? Girl goes a little too far. They're screwing around in the hot tub. He turns around. He doesn't give the girl a rose. You don't think that one of those girls, I'm telling you, I know it. These guys are begging to be a part of a show where these girls are reckless with their bodies. Reckless.
Wow. You know what? Well, I don't mean to jump back to it, but I've actually found that clip on YouTube about David.
It was John who started pulling her
cover first, and then David joined in.
That's right. The white guy's pulling on it first. And no one says anything when he's doing it. They're all laughing and having a good time. When David does it, he's the little pervert.
Yeah, her name was Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy. Didn't she end up dating a basketball or football star or something?
Yeah, she dated a basketball player, but now she's washed up. She's on some reality show now. She's really, really old looking too, and gotten quite chunky. I think I saw it on VH1 about something about somebody making it to the top. Somebody's model, something or other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But this is exactly what I'm saying. These guys don't know what it is that they're getting into. And look, maybe the producers are being racist here. Maybe they are. But in this particular, I think they're being cautious. Because I don't think...
But a lot of people will construe your view of cautiousness to be racist.
Well, fine. I don't care. I don't care if they view it as being racist. The bottom line is that you do not want to get a black man. I'm sorry. You don't want to get a black man in a situation with a bunch of girls, especially white women, where there's going to be, you know...
Why especially white women?
I'm sorry. I'm just telling you like it is.
No. I want to know why.
How many... Look. Let me put it as bluntly as I possibly can, okay?
Please.
These white women who are out here fooling around with these guys.
With these black guys?
No. We're talking about the white guys they're dealing with on The Bachelor. Some of the things that these girls are doing, just knowing guys for a couple of weeks.
But
just,
you don't know that.
Well, I've seen the show.
Yeah, but they don't show anybody having sex.
But they do. But they do.
But you don't know that.
And if they're not having sex, listen, if they're not having sex, they're doing things that are close to it. There's a lot of sexual involvement.
Yeah, there's a lot of sexual innuendo
between them. There's a lot of this hot tub and going out horseback riding and having picnics and making out and touching and canoodling.
Okay.
Now, with one of these girls, I'm telling you, one of these girls gets rejected and they want to make a statement. I got to tell the story because I'm trying not to.
Okay, but why wouldn't they do that to a white dude?
They won't do it to a white dude because it's different.
Why
it's
is it different?
Because you know what it is? Because the likelihood that they'll be able to prove that they'll be able to prove that is slimmer than people's perception of black guys. And it's they know.
So are you saying that people have a perception that
I'm saying that white women in that scenario, white women in that scenario rejected by a black guy, they would take a larger offense by a black guy.
They would never go for it.
You know, that's what I'm saying. A black guy not a black guy rejecting them, they would be like, he didn't want me. Like, who the F is he?
And after we just got done?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I made out with him. I let him kiss me and touch me and put his hands all around me, and he don't want me. How's he going to turn on me? And the reason why I'm saying this. But they can say that about a white guy, but it's different when it's a white guy.
But they won't. They won't and they don't.
No, listen. I'm telling you.
Rejection
is rejection. But when it's somebody who's black, they're figuring that the black... Hold on. They're saying that the black guy... I'm telling you. There's this inner thing I know there's going to be with these white women. Especially these women. These women who are going to be on this show who are willing to get filmed pining over a guy. For some black guy to turn them down... That's like an insult to injury. And I'm sorry, I just got to put it the way it is. That nigga didn't want me? That nigga didn't want me? I know it's racist. I know for a fact that some white woman would see this black guy. She's thinking to a black man, the white woman is the holy grail. You don't think so? You don't think so. I've been with enough white women to know. And I have to tell this story. I'm telling you, I have to tell this story. Because this is how it happened.
I hope you are not about to start on no...
Listen, this is how it happened. I'll never forget it. One day I'm doing a show. It's Star and Buck Wild, right? On the show, Star and Buck Wild. And I'll never forget when Star said it. Because for me... I didn't believe it, but when he said it, there was something about the way he delivered it. And he told me, he just telling this, he said, if you don't think that, like, you know, as a black guy, you know, you piss off a white girl, that she doesn't secretly, you might think in the beginning she's all with it and whatnot, she's very, you know, liberal and, you know, all races are the same and blah, blah, blah. But if you cheat on her or you hurt her, Don't think that she doesn't mutter under her breath, that nigga. So I'll never forget, I came home, and the girl I was dating at the time, I'll never forget it, I was living with her, came home, and she had listened to the show that day, and I was reluctant to bring it up, because I knew her, I knew what type of person she was, and I said, no, never, not my girl. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about it, but it's festering in me, something he said, it stuck with me, so I had to ask. So I said, sweetheart, let me ask you something. Did you listen to the show today? She was like, yeah, I was listening. I said, did you hear that thing that Star said? She was like, yeah. So I said, you know, when we broke up, you know, when I cheated on you, did you ever say that? Did you ever call me a nigger? She looked at me and she bowed her head. I'll never forget it. She said, yeah, that's exactly what I said. I'll never forget it. I was
and Robin has said it.
What sign that she did it, or were you more stunned that she told you she did it?
No. I was more stunned that she said it, because I didn't think that as much. And I'm telling you, I know this girl. I've known her for over 15, 16 years now. That's not her persona. That's not her style. It never has been. But again, the bottom line is that it's something that's innate. It's just there. So I know that one of these black guys on The Bachelor rejects one of these white women who thinks she's God's gift to all men and gets rejected by a Negro. I'm telling you, they're asking for trouble here. JC, I mean, do I remotely sound like I'm crazy?
I think she'll say it on camera.
Say again?
I think she'll say it on camera. They'll air it. Bleep it out.
I'm almost certain, because you know, just like we played that audio of what's that thing that we played, ish that white girls say to black girls.
Yeah.
You know, they all claim to be so with it and so down to earth and so liberal, but they still have these hang-ups about black people that they don't understand. And I know
you let them get crossed by one. Let them get crossed by a black.
Get crossed by a black guy. You don't think that those girls in that are going to be, there's going to be some real, real racist stuff that's going to be said in those private meetings. You know,
I can't believe that the two of you are sitting here. I'm astonished.
How can you be astonished? See, you are the type of person who does it. You don't think like that. That's beyond you. I understand that, because you've been heavily involved, literally almost since your birth. You've been, you know, black people or black culture or whatever it may be, that's been ingrained in you. For you, it's almost like it doesn't even exist. Like, you know, you're colorblind to it. And I'm not saying that as a pejorative. I'm not saying that negatively, that you're colorblind. But I'm saying that you don't see color in that manner. You see people as people. But these girls aren't all that savvy. They're not savvy enough. They talk a good game. Oh, no, I love black people. But let them get in that situation where they're rejected by a black guy after they're done, you know, tongue-kissed them and felt them up.
I'm telling you, Robin has said it. And she,
your ex said it too.
Of course.
I'm telling you. These guys
and
are asking for trouble.
And she's had nigglets.
Put white women on there. Put black women on
there. I would agree. Why not? But no one will watch it. They just say put it on BET. That's what they would do.
Yeah, black women are at the bottom of the totem pole.
They never, ever, even
we'll put
if...
We'll put some ghetto white women on there.
No, they don't need to put any ghetto white women on there, please.
Because y'all slip and say it out of love and affection.
Exactly. That's it. A ghetto white woman will say it out of affection. You know, you my nigga.
Oh, God.
And you know what's going to happen. I'm telling you. This is how I put the scenario. Because you know in the beginning, when the girls first show up at the bachelor pad, and he's standing there to meet them, standing in the tux, and they look at him, and the girls are going to walk up, there's always going to be that one girl who does that one thing. And you know what that one thing is? She walks in and she goes, hey! And she puts her hand up to give him a high five. And somebody's going to ask, do you play basketball? There's going to be that. The girls are going to be sitting around talking about, Do you think it's true what they say?
As I'm telling you, it's nothing. It's going to be ABC's breeding for freaking racism. You're going to see some of the most racist things come out of that show. Although, don't get me wrong, it will be the highest rated Bachelor ever. Because everyone will be sitting idly. I would watch it. I haven't watched it since season one. I will watch that. Forget about it. I would watch that religiously. Religiously. But you know, I'm telling you, these black guys don't know what they're getting into.
You watch The Bachelor?
Yeah, the first season, of course.
Really?
Yeah, it was just, come on, man.
You would watch Flavor of Love?
Now, come on. Now, that was after you see one Bachelor, why would you watch The Flavor of Love? Yeah, that was the whole point. I just couldn't watch Flavor Flav do this to himself. Oh, okay, all right. I want to eat later. Good. Kissing on Flavor. Oh. Yeah, that's just bad. Anyway, all right, when we take a break, we're going to take a break. When we come back, an experiment was done at a Wisconsin college asking whether or not kids would be willing to redistribute their grades. I'll break it all down to you when we come back. It's Free Soda. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack? What's in the new chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in a tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said. which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right. This is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Tuesday, April 24th, 2012. Don't forget, check out ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Great story about a North Carolina Democrat. Democrat leader is alleged to have given one of his subordinates HIV. He was 32 at the time, the girl 20 at the time. Democratic leader in North Carolina, where the Democratic National Convention is going to be. The story gets worse because it turns out that he was actually sexually harassing a male subordinate just recently, which forced him to resign. And now this woman has come forward, who's now 29 years old, says that she has HIV, and she's certain, almost certain, that this Democratic leader has given it to her. So log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com so you can get that full story and why no one in the mainstream media is talking about this story, because it will damage the Democratic Party worse.
I heard about it.
Well, you heard about it because it was on my website.
No.
Where did you hear about it?
I think I got a news. Oh, maybe it was because it was on your website.
Yeah, it was an alert that I sent through my website.
My bad.
Go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com so you can read the story. Another classic case. You know, this is the reason why women hate Monica Lewinsky, because she took down President Clinton. Does it not make sense to you? I mean, to me, it makes absolute sense. Because I want to get into this story about what these kids did. But
It makes sense to me. Here's a girl who's 19 years old. Here's the president of the United States. She's an intern. He's a president. It's her fault. That's how they treated Monica Lewinsky. She's a pariah.
A pariah.
Come on. You're not telling me they didn't treat her like a pariah? Even Barbara Walters, who did an interview with her not too long ago, treated her like she had done something wrong. She is a child. She's 19 years old. She's dealing with the most powerful man in the world. She's doing unspeakable things in the Oval Office of the most powerful man in the world. In the world, honey. He is the leader of the free world. He's the leader of the free world. And he's inserting cigars. I don't even need to finish it. John Edwards. Screwing around with some floozy with a video camera. He even made a sex tape with her. Media didn't want to touch it. The only media outlet that touched it was the National Enquirer. Mainstream media didn't want to touch it. Because he's a liberal. Because he's a Democrat. Now they can't help but report the story. So read that, please, on ResonaRadio.com. And please, somebody tell me, you know, this story. If we're talking about a Democratic operative possibly giving a woman HIV, a death sentence, for crying out loud.
Well, I mean, do you think that he purposefully gave it to her?
He's running around having sex with women and young men.
You don't know that. He was hitting, it was supposedly that he hit on somebody.
Well, no. He goes to gay websites. Okay, fine. He's allegedly doing that. But he resigned if he wasn't doing it. Why'd you stand your ground, Negro? Mitt Romney. Actually, look at the numbers for the Republican primary in New York. That is 19,000 people, a little over, maybe even 20,000, a little over 21,000 people in New York City who voted in the Republican primary, and all of the precincts are not in yet. I didn't know there were that many Republicans in New York. Anyway, like I said, you can read that on ResonaRadio.com and tell me why you think that they're not reporting it. Anyway, apparently many students don't like the idea of redistribution, but only when it applies to their grades. Redistribution of their GPAs, grade point averages, to poorer students, they say, is unfair. But those with lower grades don't seem to mind benefiting from the hard work of their greedy, high-achieving classmates. The Young America's Foundation, fourth annual GPA redistribution petition and video contest has produced yet another stellar student entry, this time from Carthage College in Wisconsin. This year, the national public policy debate has focused on fairness through taxing the wealthy in an attempt to redistribute wealth. Many young people support this socialist policy. Yet, when students at Carthage were asked if they were willing to sign a petition to redistribute GPA points from the top 10% to the rest of the college, most of them said no. One student said no because I worked hard for my grades. Another said at Carthage, each student has an equal opportunity to get the GPA they desire. And another said, I don't want my GPA being taken away from me if I had an A. When the petitioners told students that oftentimes outside factors leave students at an unfair disadvantage, a student said, no, I'm low income and a minority, and I have a fairly decent GPA, so they backed away from it. They said no. Fittingly, some of those who are not in the upper 10% welcomed the free points. Why not? I'm down, said one student with a low GPA, eagerly signing the petition. But then the student's friend standing next to him said, it takes away from people working hard, and obviously it's paid off with their higher GPAs. Later in the conversation, when the first student told his friend, to sign a petition, the firm responded, "How about trying harder for a semester?" Hopefully, some of the students who were greedy with their GPAs understand redistribution of wealth is a little better now. No one has to write to something which someone else has worked hard for, whether it's their grades or their private property. While some have advantages to acquiring good grades or wealth, it doesn't mean that we can steal and plunder the wealth of everyone who has worked hard for their rewards. The pursuit of happiness means you get to keep the happiness once you've earned it. Ironically, the professor at the end of the video says to the petitioners, "I think you're communists. Don't tell the left." The Young Americans Foundation holds a contest every year to highlight the hypocrisy on the left's view on taxes. Many leftists think it's great to take money from people who've earned it, but it's immoral to redistribute grades. And you have to watch the video. It's called the 2012 GPA Redistribution Petition and Video. And if you check it out, although the audio is bad, and that's the reason why I didn't put it up, the breakdown is very simple. They asked all of these kids, "Hey, look, man, if you got some, you know, the upper 10% at Carthage, we can take some of their grades and break it down to you." Now, the kids who obviously look like, you know, maybe they didn't have good grades, they were down. And trust me, when you see it, they sign it eagerly. Other people were just going, "Nah, nah." But when you see the teacher, the professor, the same teachers who spew this jargon, called them a communist when it came to grades. Let's ask the resident Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery's in the house. We've been there. Hello? Montgomery? Okay, he's not there. There he is. Is he not there? James? Okay, maybe he's not there. We'll get back to him later. But you see my point, JC? If you worked hard for your grades, you deserve to keep the rewards. It doesn't matter what income you have. If you worked hard to get those grades, you get those grades. You deserve them. But some of those kids didn't have a problem, and I'm trying to figure out, what kid would think it was okay to take another kid's grade that they could say, "Oh, you got an A, just take a B, son. You know, I'm getting B's, man. You do the work." And what does that establish for those kids who only get the D's? It encourages them to get D's. If they know that people are going to get A's, and they can get a part of their grade, that means that, hey, why bother to do the work? I'm going to get that guy who gets the good grade anyway. And what do you think it's going to do to the guy who gets A's? It's going to sit up there and go, whoa. Okay, so what you're telling me is that if I get A's and B's, then I have to redistribute my grade and give it to another guy because he's at an unfair advantage. Or he's at a disadvantage. And he's going to take part of my grade. Oh, no, you know what? Nope. I'm just getting C's. I want to be in the lower percent. Why would I even bother? Why would I even bother to do it? So you're not going to inspire anybody to do better. Then why would you? When you know that they're only going to take half your stuff or part of your stuff and give it to somebody else. Let's see if James is back. James?
James?
He's putting Morse code on his phone. Some sort of weird tapping is happening. I don't know. We'll see if we can get back to him later. But that's the whole point that John Lovitz is talking about.
Sharing ain't caring in that situation.
Well, sharing is ridiculous. It's foolishness.
It's foolish.
Exactly. It's complete foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. And I think that, you know, using this example is the best because, you know, the better grades you get the better job. You know, you get,
You know, if you're in high school and you get the better grades in high school, you get to go to the better college. And I would ask, I would implore anybody, if you were in high school, I would have taken this video and I would have taken it to a high school, not a college, taking it to high school. And you tell the kids in the high school, hey, listen, all the kids that are in here getting the highest grades, we're going to cut your grades down and we're going to give them to the kids that aren't doing so well because they're the ones who had a monetary and racial disadvantage. And we need to take you, because obviously, you know, you can do this. You can get the good grades. They're at a disadvantage. We're going to take your grades. We're going to give it to some of the low income and the lower studying and the lower achieving kids. We're going to give that away to them. And, you know, yours, you know, we'll work yours down to a B minus. That's all it's going to cost you. Work it down to a B minus. Maybe a C plus. It's a C plus, you know? And I know if a kid's turning around and saying to himself, you know, my parents don't have a lot of money. If I keep my grade point average at a certain level, I can get a scholarship to go to a school, become an engineer, become a rocket scientist, whatever. Do you think they'd stand for redistribution then? No. That's why you got to get high school kids to do this. But I'll put in the amount of money, go to high school kids, you'll see a whole lot of kids will say, yeah, man, I'm with that. Yeah, man, yeah, take it from the nerds, man, geeks, yeah, man. They're going to get a good education anyway. That's all right, it doesn't matter where they go. They're going to be brilliant. They're going to be billionaires. Now, come on, man, you know, cut me some. Cut me a little slack. And that's what's wrong. And that's the hypocrisy. That's the reason why it sucks. It's awful.
What are you doing that?
For effect. Do you mind? When we get back, could the Colombian hookers be Russian spies?
Oh, my God.
Ah! I'm serious. Headline on Drudge Report. Hookers, Russian spies. It's been done before. Could the hookers be Russian spies? Baby, my money now. Give me my money, baby. Yeah. Oh, it's just awful. Oh, perfect song. International. Meth and Red, Blackout 2, International Hookers. It's Reese on the radio. Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
This one time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out. Because he was Chinese. I was like, why is he talking like that? He was screaming and crying.
I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't even talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like... Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us. We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter.
They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, hello? We have got five black... Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. The point, I'm not joking.
It's Reese on the radio. We'll be back 7 minutes from the top of the hour. On the 24th of April, this Tuesday, 2012. Anyway, so, apparently there's somebody in the news that is saying that the hookers could be Russian spies. And these are the Colombian hookers that are part of the Secret Service scandal. Senator Chuck Grassley is the one that brought this up. Now, look, there's no real solid evidence that this is true, but Senator Grassley makes a valid point. The Russians have been known to do this before. If you don't believe me, a lot of you probably remember the redhead beauty, because I was in love with her, Anna Chapman. She was the Russian redhead. She was in the cover of the New York Daily News and the New York Post. Just look her up, Anna Chapman. Good-looking Russian babe. She was on the Russian version of Maxim, I think, last year. She was in a Russian Maxim magazine on the cover. And she's like, you know, like a real Russian redhead, the pale, you know, like Molly Ringwald red. Anyway, the Colombian prostitutes entangled in the Secret Service sex scandal could have been Russian spies, according to Senator Chuck Grassley. We are looking at something that is very, very serious when national security might not be protected properly. And this is according to an interview he did in Radio Iowa. Who knows who might be using these prostitutes? The Russians are famous for getting this information. As I mentioned about Anna Chapman, because there was a report that came out that Anna Chapman was working very closely to get involved with somebody that was connected to the White House cabinet. if it was revealed. That's right. Hey, we finally got Kool-Aid Man back. And we only got 5 minutes left. Do you think they were Russian?
Doesn't matter, okay? First and foremost, hookers have always been used as spies.
That's right.
Always.
That's right.
Always. And why? Is because when a man, doesn't matter if he's American, Russian, black, white, Republican, Democratic, whatever, when the scandal comes out, there's a hooker involved.
Always a hooker involved.
Always a hooker involved. And why? Because not only are you trying to release the beast,
right,
but you release everything else.
That's how Dick Morris got caught. That's how Dick Morris, a former advisor to Bill Clinton, got caught with a hooker. And he was there was a lot of pillow talk.
See, and that's just it. It's pillow talk. Because once you've spent yourself, you seem to spend yourself more.
What kind of moral? I got to say this before I go. What I couldn't understand about the Dick Morris story is I couldn't imagine you're in bed with a hooker. You're having sex. I mean, what are you doing? Are you sitting there going, oh, and then tomorrow we're going to pass the cap and trade bill? Oh.
No. See, Reese. It's afterwards. It's the afterglow.
Yeah, but I'm not in the afterglow. The last thing I want to be talking about is policy. You know,
No. The thing is, especially when you're dealing with in a situation where you have to keep secrets. Okay?
Yeah. But after I have sex, James, being a radio personality, after sex, I don't lie down and I go, oh, man, I think I'm going to cover the Secret Service scandal tomorrow on the air.
You may not think so, but afterwards you want to have, even with a hooker, all right, especially when it comes to, like, politicians and people who have to keep secrets for a living, all right?
Why?
You have to keep what you have to yourself all the time.
It isn't even
like that you start out that way.
Okay,
you know what? I have a lot of stress. Thank you for giving me my release. I have a lot of stress. Here's why.
But here's where the problem is, Jay. And I understand what you're saying. You're saying that here it is an opportunity for him to be with someone where he can release all of that stress. But then he's forgetting the golden rule about hookers. You never pay a hooker to stay. You pay a hooker to leave.
Right. You pay a hooker to leave, but you're also paying a hooker. And the thing is, if you're paying, all right, and hookers will tell you, well, yeah, because any hooker or any madam will tell you that the first thing they say is they protect their John.
Yeah, well, I ain't telling a hooker nothing. That's why I don't
speak. Right.
I never
now,
will.
Now, see, again, but that's your... See, you forgot. You forgot. Don't blame that on the hooker. Don't blame that on the hooker.
I'm not blaming it on the hooker. I'm just saying, you can't trust the hooker.
That's right. And... these people seem to forget all the time. You can't trust them. You can't.
We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow. It'll be Wacky Hump Wednesday. It's Rich on the radio. See you tomorrow.